a lot of these businesses that built their own tools and built their own infrastructure because they had significant funding or they were profitable, those are a lot of the businesses I'm seeing that are struggling to keep up now because the engineers or devs that built that have left, so they can't support it anymore. Or there's totally new tools that are way more powerful than what they have built internally. Some of my favorite ads I like seeing, they have ads that you can go like 15 seconds. You wouldn't know what brand this is for without like looking at the name of the page. And that's really impressive to me because they're focusing on the attention.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Building Blocks Podcast. Today, I am joined by Barry Hott. Super excited to have this conversation today because you've been in the game for so many years, right? Yeah. How many years has it been? 20?
Yeah, no. getting up there, but no. I mean, I started in like 2008. Not necessarily in like the D2C space, but doing advertising back then, yeah.
Well, you're here now. It feels like, you know, 1 year in DDC world feels like 10 years. So I think my math is still kind of right there. I'm super excited to talk to you today because, you know, I've been in the space since 2014. So you have a lot of years ahead of me. And I'm just so curious about, you know, what gets you excited now, you know, after being in this marriage to the business for so long, what gets you excited?
It's been a wild ride. What gets me excited? I'm still at the end of the day, I'm still excited by ads. I think if I were to boil it down, even like when I was a young boy, I've always been just so interested in like TV commercials. I think about those TV commercials I used to see as a kid. So for me, like, it's really about, I enjoy and still get super amped up on making ads that make people feel and making ads that make people take that desired action rather than I'm not the guy who's going to like want to make ads that are just going to be like ad recall or like brand awareness. Like, that's not really what gets me excited.
Right. And you work with a lot of big brands like Fortune 500 companies. And recently you work with startups like Harry's, Lumen, Hubble's, Keep, Cerebral, a bunch of big DDC names.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference of working with these Fortune 500 companies and these still really large DDC brands?
It's a great question. The big difference is like process and people getting in the way. The bigger the company, the more red tape there is. I think, you know, some of this is perhaps stating the obvious, but with those big companies, you know, working with AT&T, it's like we're working on for something on behalf of someone, on behalf of another team, on behalf of someone else. And to get anything approved back then, and this was years ago, so maybe they're leaner and meaner now, but I doubt
probably
it.
Not.
I'll say that. Say that publicly. Probably not. it would take forever. The example I always think about is like we had to launch a texting while driving campaign, like anti-texting while driving, and they delivered us the video to use on Facebook, and they gave us this landing page, and the goal was to get people to like take this pledge. And the video started with a 5-second fade in from white to the logo. And the landing page had like 5 qualifying steps, like pages of information before you could fill out the form. So our, you know, goal was to optimize to get the most people to fill out that form. And by the time we like gave them that feedback and then they responded and said, sorry, we can't trim the video and we can't improve the website, the campaign had already finished. We'd already finished the like 2-3 week campaign and we weren't able to fix anything. Whereas, as you know, the, you know, more D2C, more modern growth businesses, that stuff's getting done in hours. And sometimes for not for the better, sometimes stuff's too rushed. So that's a separate problem.
It's a double-edged sword, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I get it. I've worked with large companies. I worked with this large music company a few years ago, and like virtually anything you want to do, there's 4 people to get through. Right. And then sometimes they don't communicate and then falls back to you. So I get what you mean. And, you know, that's why we're in this line of business now. Over the years, growth has changed, at least from the consumer's eyes, the way that we have mm-hmm. grown businesses have changed. I want to hear your perspective on, like, what is that thing today that helps a DTC business grow? And how has that changed over time?
I think it's always been, in a way, meeting the consumer where they are.
Right.
And that's just changed. That's always changed. And it's always evolving. So it's about paying attention to what that is. If you were to think about back when Instagram was acquired by Facebook and suddenly Instagram was a new ad placement, people were trying to develop the right content that could exist for Instagram rather than just Facebook ads, which were pretty different back then. Same thing kind of is happening now, but with TikTok, where brands are like, okay, let's just copy and paste our playbook from Facebook ads over to TikTok, and they immediately fail.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So they have to go back to the drawing board. You have to reinvent how you're meeting your customers where they are and what that messaging looks like for them and how you present that. Like, it's a huge challenge. And the bigger problem is that agencies, traditional or somewhat modern agencies, and same goes for traditional and somewhat modern startups that are from 5, 10 or more years ago, anything from more than 5 years ago, they might have built process and structured teams in a way that isn't compatible with the creative needs of 2022 creative and advertising. So right. That's the thing right now that I'm seeing a lot of people stumbling over, is they have structured roles and processes that aren't compatible with what is needed today. And it kind of breaks down when you're trying to scale.
Absolutely. And it's something that I always tell business owners, is you need to not just hire a bunch of marketers, but you need to hire someone who's good at ops, who's good at building infrastructures if you really want to scale, and someone who's like keeping an eye on it and refine it as you go, rather than someone who's built that system for you 4 years ago when you started and expect to still perform the same way. Because a lot of things change. The way that we work change first and foremost. The way that we advertise have changed. The speed of changes is also needed, because people's mm-hmm. attention span just aren't the same as before. And so you right. cannot expect to run a business on a old software. Like, it needs update. And unfortunately, a lot of brands don't look at that. They think you need marketing, you need product, but ops, we'll fix it when it breaks. Yeah. And it's a lot of reactionary actions, right? Instead of being proactive and say, I need to build roads so that I don't fall into the water if I keep driving. And that's the number one thing I always tell people. You got to fix the back end.
Yeah. I mean, but also there's an interesting conundrum that I've right. noticed both in the past and happening now more, is that a lot of these businesses that built their own tools and built their own infrastructure because they had resources to, right? They maybe had significant funding, or they were profitable, and they were like, oh, let's build our own website. Let's not use Shopify. Let's not use some established thing. Let's build our own whatever. Let's build our own plugins, or build our own tools, build our own whatever. Those are a lot of the businesses I'm seeing that are struggling to keep up now because they've built so much of their own. And either the engineers or devs that built that have left, so they right. can't support it anymore, or there's totally new tools that all of their competitors are using that are way more powerful than what they have built internally, but yeah. they're so stuck on this thing that they've built, and they can't, it would be such a huge lift to get off of it that they can't, and then they're perpetually stuck. And I see this happen more than not, and it's a very funny thing when I think about guiding and helping startups or businesses build and not build, because it's always like, well, why would I pay this other company? Why would I pay this software company to do this? Well, we can afford to build it ourselves for cheaper. Yeah, well, they can support it. Those software companies can often support it and build something bigger and better over time and get feedback from multiple businesses. So there's a weird conundrum there, and I've seen it sting as these brands age.
Oh, absolutely. I actually something happened to me. Same thing. We built a influencer seeding system.
Yeah.
And we built it internally because I was like, I don't want to pay 15 grand for Grin.
Right.
We don't have the money for it. And so we built our own and it worked perfectly fine. I still don't think it's like broken by any means. And thankfully we built it on like no code software. So it was a very intricate mix of Airtable, Zapier, Shopify, and a bunch of like API tools and different things.
Yeah.
And then, you know, things get expensive because it's based on usage too. And it's based on like upkeep. And then we're like, you know what, maybe we should just go back to a software. So you're right. There is chances where you just need to make sure that you're looking 10 steps ahead. Short-term gratification doesn't always mean that it's sustainable.
And that 10 steps ahead, you need to be looking forward. You need to be like building like an architect and looking for structural integrity and figure out if one of these pillars fails, does the whole thing collapse? Like if we lose this engineer, how do we replace it?
Right.
If you can't answer that question, you haven't built for scale at all.
Absolutely. So I want to focus the rest of the conversation on something that you tweeted back in April. Mm. You had this whole thread where you outline a strategy for paid social that puts branding on the side and focusing on hooking the customers through their experience, to get around this brain's natural ad blocker, which I understand, but I would love to get your take on it. So give me the outline again, and how do you really get through this ad blocker in people's brain?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot, if you were to read my Twitter, like over time, I think a lot of people would say like, oh, Barry is not a branding guy. Barry doesn't care about brands. I actually deeply care about brands and branding. I think it's extremely important. And I think about the overall impact, but what I also think about so much more is how difficult it is to get people to even think about or care about your brand really. And how to get people to try your brand in the first place. People are so hesitant to try net new things. And they don't want to experience new things for the most part. People are happy with what they like. So I talk about visually, you know, what I said at kind of at the top before is meeting people where they are. I'm all about making stuff that can break through the noise and do so by looking like, I want to be making ads and content that look like something people want to watch and want to pay attention to. And that's a broad answer and a broad definition, but that could be, if you think about what people look at on Instagram, let's just use Instagram. People are on there to follow their friends and see what they're doing. But I think that's even less used now than before. People are on there to see what celebrities are doing. They're on there to follow meme accounts, right? They follow all sorts of weird stuff. But if you're making content that doesn't look or feel like those things in the very first second, in the very first moment, then you've already probably lost the game for almost everyone. Because those subconscious ad blockers, people know that they're on a platform where they're going to be seeing ads. They don't usually care about the ads. They want to ignore them. Or their brain, you know, it's about dopamine hits. You don't get a dopamine hit from seeing an ad usually. So if you can make an ad into something that the goal should be making an ad that people want to watch. People want to see it. People are excited when they see it or curious. They feel something. That's the goal. If you can't achieve that goal, then making it seem like that is the next best thing. And doing so, you cannot incorporate your logo or your heavy branding in that first moment. 9 times out of 10, I would say including the logo, including the branding actually takes people out of it in that moment. I'm happy to go 1 to 3 seconds with no logo or brand mention and then get into it. Then go, you know, you can go brand heavy. Some of my favorite ads I like seeing I'll say Dr. Squatch does this. They have ads that you can go like 15 seconds. You wouldn't know what brand this is for without like looking at the name of the page it's coming from. And that's really impressive to me because they're focusing on the attention, getting the attention, keeping the attention, and then doing something with that attention, which is it doesn't matter if you care about soap or you care about Dr. Squatch or whatever. It cares about this, you care about this problem that they just presented to you. And now you want to solve that problem. And now you're invested in it. And then they can introduce Dr. Squatch. That's the whole thing for me is not just about like showing your brand over and over again. That makes sense for like Coke versus Pepsi, but it's not the same when you're a smaller startup that most people have never heard of, never tried, and probably won't.
And they want to associate your brand, and we're talking about like brand colors and taglines and all that stuff, but that's way down the line. Your first goal is to make sure that consumers, when they see your ad, they're associating your brand to the solution for a problem that they have. That's the first thing. You got to get your foot in the door. It doesn't matter what your brand color is. You don't need to show your logo on it. You're literally not big enough for people to remember that after. But what they remember is this feeling of, wow, something right here is solving something that I care about or something that I experience. The way that I look at advertising is we're walking into rooms. Different platforms represent different rooms. And there's a set of expectations that you have when you walk into a room because you're like, yeah, I've been in this room before. I know what's got to be in there. All right. Mm-hmm. Instagram, you're like you're saying, I'm seeing my friends posting, they're traveling and they're doing all these stuff, funny memes. TikTok, I'm expecting to learn something new because I'm learning something new on TikTok every single day. So there's educational content or like behind the scenes content. Twitter, you know, short form announcements, Pinterest, really nice pictures in different settings. Different rooms require you to have different types of content because the worst thing that you can ever do to someone who's going to these rooms for pleasure because of the dopamine hit is to knock them off their feet with something that interrupts their brain. You do not want to interrupt them. You want them to ease into the next thing. And then you're like, yeah, this is our brand. It's not even a controversial opinion though, because everyone raves about Super Bowl ads. And what the Super Bowl ads do great, you don't even know what they're selling to you until the very end. It's so entertaining that you're tweeting about it, you're posting about it, and you don't even know what they sell until the very, very last second.
I'll be honest, I have issues with Super Bowl ads for taking too many liberties that way and not selling enough. That's a separate issue because they don't have to track as much as like we do in performance marketing.
Yeah. So like, you know, larger brands, they can get away with a lot of things that we just kind of get away from. But like in terms of principle, the idea of making ads entertaining should not be controversial. You know, we're not saying we can't make Super Bowl ads, but we should also not just make ads that look like pure ads. And I think that's really the point that we're agreeing on, right? I love that. And I think everyone should definitely take that into consideration. There's no reason why you will have an opposing opinion to this. Like, yeah, you know, I want to make my ad look so much like an ad because it works. No marketer will tell you that. Unless we're talking about like even gray hat stuff, like native ads where they're selling pills, like they still look very natural. They look like a medical study. And because this
that's what they're trying to do is right. They're not necessarily trying to make it look like user generated because actually what they want to make it look like is something that's more reputable. So they make it look like kind of news. That's a whole other, you know, educational, you know, angle. There's something kind of sneaky about that.
I want to take the last few seconds or a few minutes to get your hot take. Everyone has a hot take. What's yours?
I mean, all my takes are hot takes, legally speaking.
There you go.
That's my hot take. What is my hot take? That's a great question. I wasn't prepared for. I think that, I mean, the brand take we just did is kind of my hot take.
What's that thing that you feel like everyone else is doing that you're like, actually, I don't know, my way is not that way?
I feel that about almost everything. you know, I would say in terms of like, it's hard to say because like it depends on which pockets for people we're talking about. I know this isn't what you want, but like if we were talking about like D2C Twitter, I think a lot of people would agree with a lot of what I'm saying. But if we were talking about like bigger brands that aren't on D2C Twitter, those are the ones that think that what we just talked about is lunacy. So I think, I mean, man, I'm going to look back at this and regret not having a better hot take for you.
It's okay. But I think the takeaway here is that you can't please everyone and everyone's you know, tips and hacks online. It's not a blanket statement that will work for everyone. And that's really where hot takes are, because hot takes are, there's a substantial amount of people that will agree with you, and there's a substantial amount of people that will oppose you for their own reasons. And, you know, I can't say as marketers we're always right or we're always wrong about something. It's just, that's a hot take. It's, you can't please anyone or everyone. Ask a very, very last question. How did you get into stunt driving?
It was something I forget where you found it, but that's something we got my dad as like a 60th birthday present. It was like a stunt driving class, like for him. And then he like returned the favor for my graduation. So it was like an intensive 2-day like real stunt driving course that like real stunt professionals take. And I did it. It was incredible. My dad said it's the most fun he's had with his clothes on. And I would have to agree. I would recommend it to anyone who enjoys being behind the wheel of a car. To learn how to be able to throw a car, drive straight at a parallel parking spot and turn it 90 degrees to slide into it in a box. Like, that is incredible. Like, will I ever do that with my own car? No, but that's an extreme experience and I will never forget that.
Knowing that you could do it is probably just as good as knowing that you have done it. Like, just like, I could do it. I just don't want to do it right now of my own will. Barry, thank you so, so much for coming on and talking to us about the growth, you know, perspectives that you had over the years, the outline for how to get your ads to be watched. I'm sure a lot of people are curious about that. And generally, just a lot of the amazing content that you give out for free. So appreciate you and thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you. And thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
You just heard an episode of the Building Blocks podcast. If you like what you heard, subscribe below to keep hearing conversations that I have with brilliant marketers, founders, and innovators on how they built their best ideas. Now, if you want to learn how you can turn your best ideas and build something massive out of it, visit my website, bbclass.co, or follow my Twitter @agro.